Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 4, Hiranyakashipu terrorizes the universe. Text number 24. Tesham avi ra budvani arupa mega visvana sanadayanti kakuba sadunam abhayankari tesham. In front of all of them, avirabhut appeared vani, a voice, arupa, without a form, mega nishvana, resounding like the sound of a cloud. Sanadayanti, causing to vibrate. Kakuba, in all directions. Sadunam, of the saintly persons. Abhayankari, driving away the fearful situation. Translation but no purport. Then there appeared before them a transcendental sound vibration emanating from a personality not visible to material eyes. The voice was as grave as the sound of a cloud, and it was very encouraging, driving away all fear. Text 25-26. Mavishta vibhuda shresta sarvesham vadramastuva madarshanam hibhutanam sarvashreyo padyate padaye gyatam etasya dararatmya yam daiteya pasadasya vayat tasya shantim karishami kalam tavat pratikshata. The voice of the Lord vibrated as follows. O best of learned persons, do not fear. I wish all good fortune to you. Become my devotees by hearing and chanting about me and offering me prayers. For these are certainly meant to award benedictions to all living entities. I know all about the activities of Hiranyakashipu and shall surely stop them very soon. Please wait patiently until that time. Report. Sometimes people are very much eager to see God, and considering the word madarshanam, see me, which is mentioned in this verse, one should note that in the Bhagavad Gita the Lord says, bhaktiyamam abhijanati. In other words, the ability to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or to see Him, or talk with Him, depends upon one's advancement in devotional service, which is called bhakti. In bhakti, there are 9 different activities, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, or vishno, smaranam, pada, sevanam, archanam, vandanam, dasyam, sakyam, atma, nivedanam. Because all these devotional activities are absolute, there is no fundamental difference between worshipping the deity in the temple and seeing him and chanting his glories. Indeed, all of them are waves of seeing him. For everything done in devotional service is a means of direct contact with the Lord. The vibration of the Lord's voice appeared in the presence of all the devotees, and although one person vibrating the sound was unseen to them, they were meeting or seeing the Lord because they were offering prayers and because the vibration of the Lord was present. Contrary to the laws of material nature, there is no difference between seeing the Lord, offering prayers, and hearing the transcendental vibration. Pure devotees, therefore, are fully satisfied by glorifying the Lord. Such glorification is called kirtan. Performing kirtan and hearing the vibration of the sound Hare Krishna is actually seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. One must realize this position and then one will be able to understand the absolute nature of the Lord's activities. Abhinivat namanamino. That was the first word of that verse. Namas Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purno Shudo Nityamukto Binatvat Namanamino Binatvam Namanamino. So, Namas Chintamani Krishna. So the holy name of Krishna is like Chintamani, like touchstone, transcendental jewels. Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha is the form of all transcendental pleasure. Namas Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. Purno is complete within itself, it's full. Purno Nityo, it is eternal. Shudo Nityukta Binadvat Namanamino. It's completely pure and it's not different from Krishna. So how this is so, everyone has realization who's chanting Hare Krishna that, as we know, if we're chanting nicely meaning we're chanting with some, trying to call out to Radha and Krishna, a little attentive chanting with some feeling, then it doesn't get boring. What we're bored of is all the thoughts go along with our chanting. That's the only agitating point. If there are no material thoughts, then it's chintamani, it's spiritual. Of course, even if there is material thoughts, it's not a problem. The problem is when we become absorbed or distracted by the material thoughts. Material thoughts will come because that's our conditioned nature, but if one is not distracted by them, they'll simply come and go. But if one becomes distracted by them, then they'll come back again. If Maya goes, boo, and we go, no, stop. And Maya will go, boo, no, boo. So we become interested in Maya distracting us or Maya bewildering us. And Maya will say, yes, if that's what you want, no worries. That's my job. I'm here to do that. And then Maya goes, boo, and we go, ah, really, Hare Krishna. Then Maya will go, all right, I'll find some other candidate. You don't love me. You don't want to have my association. There's plenty of people who do. Goodbye. So it's a question of not getting distracted by Maya, and then gradually, if we're trying to serve Krishna, then Krishna reveals himself. Krishna, first of all, reveals himself. In Bhagavad Gita, he says, I'm God. Now God, he says, Aham Savasya Prabhavo, Matak Sarvam Pravartate, Iti Matva Bhudante Mam, Buddha Bhava Samanvitaha. That I'm the source of all the material and spiritual worlds. So that includes a lot. And it also includes where we are right now. Krishna is also the source of everything here. For me, the entire creation flows. So everything is coming from Krishna. So how can we be separated or not have a relation with Krishna, since we're surrounded by Krishna's energies and they're being controlled by Krishna? So at every moment we have a relation with Krishna, and the only question is, what is our consciousness in that? What is our part we're playing in that relationship? If we're favorable towards Krishna, tatte nukampam susamikshamano bunjana evatmakritam vipakam. If we're not disturbed by what we think is favorable or unfavorable, tatte nukampam su, nicely, iksha, to see, mana. If we allow our intelligence to see things properly with our minds, so ikshamano, then we can actually become equi-minded, see Krishna everywhere. Bunjana evatmakritam vipakam. And whatever situation we're under, we should understand this is Krishna's arrangement. Material world means constant misery. There's no time in existence, in material existence, one can be free from misery. If we think about right now the miseries we're facing, we can see that most of us are just facing the misery of sitting here, trying to figure out how to keep the body straight, where to put the leg, where to put our head, where to put our minds, constantly adjusting the temperature, looking at the weather. Is it spring? Is it winter? Is it fall? What's the season? Is it going to snow or rain or what? So one is constantly faced with anxiety. What's happening next? What's happening next? Why did this happen to me before? Why is it happening to me now? We don't see everything in relation to Krishna. It's been all, in the past it was arranged by Krishna. In the present it's arranged by Krishna. In the future everything will be arranged by Krishna. And we accept Krishna as the Suridam Sarvabhutanam. He's our good friend. It's all being arranged for our benefit, and if we accept that, then one can be equi-minded. Now, why are these problems? Because without problems, we're not going to rely upon Krishna. We're not going to surrender to Krishna so easily. Ridva vapuvirvi vidanmanaste, and therefore, in spite of whatever our material circumstances are, if we can go on calling out to Krishna, worshiping Krishna, as explained here, then one becomes eligible. Ridvagvabhubhirvi vidanamaste jivete san mukti sadayabhak. Then one is eligible to obtain mukti. Sadayabhak. It becomes his rightful inheritance. So that's all we have to see. If or not we're accepting that this energy is Krishna's energy, everyone is Krishna's energy, everyone is Krishna's servant, everything is being arranged perfectly so I can do some service for Krishna. If we accept that, then wherever we are, we'll have association with Krishna. And if we don't accept that, we may be right in front of the deities, or we may be in Vaikuntha, and we'll be in Maya. We'll be the only ones in Vaikuntha and Maya. You go to Vaikuntha and someone says, did you just see Narayan? Who's Narayan? I never heard of the guy. You know, Narayan, four hands, God, there is no God. What are you talking about? No, you're in Vaikuntha. This is God's kingdom. No, I don't believe you. So one could be in Vaikuntha and still doubt whether Krishna is even there or not. Is this really Vaikuntha? Or are all these strange people walking around with all these arms, you know? This must be some circus or something. But if one accepts Krishna, then one can see Krishna everywhere, in any circumstance, as long as we're not distracted by our minds. Our minds will always give us doubts. That's the job of the mind, is to test us. Unless we're attracted by our doubts, we're attracted by our material desires, then the result is that Krishna will hide himself from us, because we don't want Krishna. We're still attached to, because all these doubts, all these things are just distractions, helping us distract ourselves from Krishna, not accepting the reality of Krishna. So Maya will provide so many doubts for us. Asam shayam samagram mam ita gyasisi tatshino. But if we hear about Krishna and we hear from the right source with the right attitude, then gradually we'll understand that there's nothing to be doubtful about. So we're not this body, Krishna is eternal, we're eternal, we have an eternal relation with Krishna, and we're developing it gradually, or reviving, awakening ourselves up again, to understand this person who has unlimited beauty, unlimited knowledge, unlimited strength, unlimited wealth. He's Krishna, he's all attractive, inconceivably attractive. And how do we find out? How do we realize it for ourselves? How do we understand Krishna is saying is truthful when he says he's the source of everything? So much chita, much kata, prana, bodhi, antash, parash, param, kata, yantashvam, nityam, tushanti, cha, ramanti, cha. So it relies upon hearing from devotees who know something about Krishna. Hearing in such a way is that we're willing to utilize our prana and our chitta. First, our chitta, our consciousness. We're willing to offer our consciousness to Krishna and hear with some attention. If we're not willing to offer even our consciousness to Krishna, then how can we expect to become conscious of Krishna? If we think, well, this thought I have is much more valuable than Krishna, then Maya will say, yes, you're right. Here's another one. Here's one even better than the last one. And we'll take one, become absorbed in one thought after another, and somehow or another, if we remember Krishna, we think, oh, that's not very important. Go away. Ah, yes, Maya, thank you. So we have to understand, be willing to offer our consciousness and hear about Krishna. That hearing about Krishna is something valuable. Then, not only hearing about him, but then we find out everything belongs to him, and therefore we have to do something for him. It's not enough just to think about Krishna. We have to actually want to do something to please him. Of course, pleasing Krishna is not necessarily very complicated and difficult. It could be just raising our hands and chanting Hare Krishna, dancing. Doesn't require that we go out and break bricks all day long or bring in a huge amount of money. It requires simply that we lovingly chant Hare Krishna and dance before Krishna to please him. Do something to please him. That's actually pleasing to him. Then, tushanti cha ramanti cha. Then one's introduction to Krishna consciousness is tushanti. One will feel a sense of satisfaction. Or, in a more advanced level, ramanti. One will experience transcendental pleasure by hearing about Krishna and dedicating one's consciousness and one's energies in the service of Krishna. And it gradually develops. Tesham sadatam yuktanam bhajantam pritipurvakam dadami buddhiyogam tam yenamam upyantite. For those who are constantly devoted to worshiping me with love, then I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So if we engage our consciousness, we learn how to do that, which is the subject matter of our classes, the seminars, is simply to teach people how to engage their consciousness and how to render service to Krishna in that consciousness. Then the result is the more steadily, the more enthusiastically, the more carefully, the more attentively, the more lovingly, the more with determination we serve Krishna, then he gives us more and more intelligence to understand what is the science of Krishna consciousness. He gives us more and more realizations so that we're not, as Prabhupada writes, when one sees things as they are, then the influence of the material nature gradually ceases. Or activities performed in knowledge strengthen one's advancement in real knowledge. So gradually realizations come, and then we become ever more enthusiastic, and tesham eva nukamparata mahama jnana jamtamaha na shamyam yatmabhava sto jnana dipena bhashvata. That out of compassion, again, tatenu kampam susamikshamana. We can't convince Krishna to reveal himself because we're such fantastic devotees. That we cook halva for Krishna and he's so irresistible, he has to come and eat it personally. Especially when we put nice raisins in it, then Krishna likes the raisins. No, Krishna doesn't need our fruity halva to live. He's not hankering. But for love and devotion, if it's offered lovingly and feelingly to Krishna, then Krishna becomes attracted. And then, when he sees that this poor conditioned soul, he's trying to serve me, in spite of all the impediments, all the distractions, all the sufferings he's going through, then Krishna becomes compassionate. And Ridvag Vapuvir Vididdanvanavaste Jiveta Sanbukti Sadesavayadayava. Then when Krishna reveals himself, and when Krishna reveals himself, then the devotee becomes in the ecstasy of the internal energy, then not only becomes enlivened, but he also becomes enlightened because the darkness of material existence is dissipated. The darkness, the reactions for avidya, when avidya goes, when ignorance goes, then all the sinful reactions also go also. Papam, kutam, parabdha, and aparabdha karma. They all disappear. And the devotee realizes that Krishna is doing everything, he's everywhere, and the devotee simply is desiring to please Krishna, and because he's desiring to please Krishna, therefore Krishna utilizes him as an instrument in Krishna consciousness, and everything, as it says, is provided automatically by the grace of the Lord. One who becomes an instrument for Krishna or a servant of Krishna in this world, then Krishna makes sure his servitor is always nicely, comfortably situated. Even in the midst of the most difficult situation, one will still feel very comfortable, as if Krishna is holding one personally in his hands. Then one will not be disturbed even in the greatest difficulty. This is indeed freedom from all material miseries arising from material contact. And this is possible by the practice of the devotional yoga system, just by hearing and chanting about Krishna. Everything is possible. But hearing and chanting with faith and attention, not yesterday I heard and chanted about Krishna, it didn't work, so why should it work today? It's the same old thing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. It doesn't work, it doesn't work. No, no, no. So with that kind of attitude, Krishna will say, yes, no problem, it doesn't work. For you, it will never work. So we have to change. Therefore, we have to hear the philosophy, try and understand it with our intelligence, and see how it will work if I have the proper consciousness, if I have the proper attitude. And try it out. It doesn't cost anything. Proper attitude, you'll still get prasadam today, even if you have the proper attitude. You shouldn't worry about it. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Hare Krishna. Oftentimes we read that the demigods will have some material desires. And we also understand that often when we have some material desires and distractions, then Krishna is not inclined to reveal himself. But here we see that they approach Krishna, and Krishna appears to them, at least in the sound.
Yeah.
So does it mean that Krishna can appear to those who are not on the highest platform of pure devotional service?
Well, I guess if he decided not to, then Panchatattva would have to disappear from here. Krishna one day decides, if you're not a pure devotee, I'm going away, and you see the Panchatattva packing their clothes and see if there's any planes available, go to another temple. Now Krishna is appearing before us in the Panchatattva. It's a holy name. So why the demigods? We may be not 100% pure devotees, but Krishna is appearing before us in so many different ways. So why should it appear before the demigods, who are more or less to different degrees in the mode of goodness? And they're also performing devotional service, maybe with some desire. But basically speaking, they're strictly following Krishna's directions. Although with the idea that they should do it as the controllers, but still they're doing exactly what Krishna wants them to do. So Krishna reveals himself as much as necessary. Otherwise, sarvasya chaham riddhi sannivishto matak smritira gyanam aponam cha. To every living entity, even the demons, Krishna is giving them remembrance, knowledge, and intelligence. Why not the demigods, who are his devotees? He gives them special intelligence. Otherwise, they would be demigods. As if we were in Indra Loka right now, and Krishna said, well, you take charge of the rain. We wouldn't know what to do. See, Krishna, can you teach me? Well, I don't know, you're not such a big devotee. Hey, you must be a big devotee, you must be a more advanced than we are, I mean, in some respects. Otherwise, how could Krishna give him the intelligence how to provide rain for the entire universe? Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandaraj, Shrimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.